about something. Real talk radio, ain't no funny. A church with our walls, the hottest talk show. Real talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin', music got me hoppin'. Who you represent, ain't no stopping. Come on, let's go, I'm in the zone. Can't get enough, turn it
real
out.
Talk with Dr. Davenport.
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for joining us for another riveting edition of Live with Dr. D. I am him. The background noise in the background is of our co-host, Rook City, preparing to come live on this epic and beautiful day, another day we've been gifted with. My friend Rook, how's it going?
Doc, I'm great, Doc. Thankful to be here, man.
We could be a whole lot of other places, my friend, whether it be able to share live across the country. The tomfoolery that we produce is a good thing. Special shout out to our main man, 50 Grand, Dr. T down in Miami, who is listening. I don't know if he's going to be able to come live with us on today's broadcast, but he's listening, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing, Rook, that he was able to heal up enough to listen. I'll tell you something about that guy. He could die, and if you upset him enough, he'll get out of the grave and tell you about yourself. So I know that he has been watching. He watched the recent interview with Dr. Jamar Bryan and Bishop Bloomer. It on the Word Network on last week, and I've been waiting. I didn't want to ask him about it, but now that I know that he has seen it, I know he can't wait to tell as many people as possible his thoughts, pro or con, about what he did. You see that interview at all last week? Last week Friday?
No.
But this past Friday? No. Yeah, it was a 2-hour interview with Bloomer and Bryan, and they discussed everything from his political ambitions campaign to, and Bloomer asked him plainly about why he had Farrakhan on the Word Network. And it was a interesting interview, to say the least. Brother R is listening. God bless him as well. Hopefully he'll be able to come live with us sometime before the end of the show. Background and business being taken care of. Rook, today it is Ask Rook City. Our variation on Dear Abby. I know you're looking forward to that. And we just want to give a shout out to all of the listeners of this show. As I've been told, Doc, and you know, this wasn't, well, I guess you know, this wasn't by design, but they call this the man show. The man show, because only the brothers call in and respond. And of course, my reply is that sisters listen. A lot of times they don't respond, but every now and then they will comment when they feel the need. But you know,
we got,
I thank God, Michelle, that people listen.
Doc, we got Elder Michelle, we got Tara from Arizona, we got the Hustons. I mean, we got women to call.
Yeah, women call in and listen all the time. You know, but go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
I mean, we get women calls, but it seems like when we have our debate, they stay on mute. Like you just don't bring them on or something. I don't know. Then
they
go dead.
So, yes, sir. I'm sorry, I thought you were saying something else.
No, Doc, and I just want to say to everybody from New Life that didn't call in yesterday, y'all are a bunch of slackers. Slackers.
Don't do that.
Doc, they
don't
text me yesterday. What was that about? I'm like, you should have called in just to see. Don't text me after the show. You missed it. 1 o'clock? It's too late. You got to text at 10:20.
Well, you better fix that. Fix that, because you know the enemy is, and you don't want nobody to think that we were bashing New Life, you know. And I know how you can be when you get an attitude about something, you want to be done with it, you leave folk mad out there with the wrong reason. And so we don't want to cause any disruptions in the kingdom, but we ain't scared either. Praise the Most High God. Amen. Amen. I think I put all that out there at one time, my friend. Yes, sir. So you make sure you fix that. You know, didn't nobody call New Life out, but you. You called the old church out.
Mm-hmm. With that, mm-hmm. Like I say, like I said, was call and represent your church. Now, if I was somebody else, you know, a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, and I said it, they would have did it, but since I'm being me, they couldn't do it. I ain't with it.
Well, you know, let me put it to at ease. If this show was a little bit bigger, they may have called, but, you know.
It's big enough. We come on every week. Almost every day at the same time. We big enough, Doc. There's a lot of people that ain't doing what we doing, Doc. So we big enough.
Well, that's true. But, you know, you got preachers that preach every Sunday and singing that sing every day. If they ain't getting Grammys, Emmys, or, you know, on major platform, they're considered to be unsuccessful. That's just how some people think. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And that's okay. I've learned that it's good to be small sometimes. Because, Doc, you can be small enough to get everything done, anything done, and what you need to get done, done. Because when you get too big, some places you can't go anymore, you know,
big,
without you being seen.
We laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be small, Doc. Come on, you said it first, Doc. You said it first.
Well, man. Reverend, hey, man, that's the truth. They say what you want to, Doc. Take it any way you want to, Reverend.
You got me.
Yeah, Doc. You say I what
yeah.
Now?
I mean, nah, you caught up with me. Okay. Yeah,
a little slow on the uptake. We're live on there, Rook City, Dr. D. Call in number for our show, 516-387-1299. Rook, we're going to call in. I'm going to take this call, and then before we get to ask Rook, I want to ask you about another story, but let's see what's going on here now. Going to Detroit, last four digits of your number are 4570. 4570. Good morning. You're now live on the air at Rook City. Dr. D, who's this?
Good morning, Doc. Good morning, Rook. This is the Prophet.
Oh.
The Prophet.
All right. Now, I called in. Yes, called in. I couldn't get through. I called in. I got your text late. It was later in the show, but I tried, number one. I don't know what happened before I got in today, but I heard Doc was like, you called your own church out, but I was in your corner, bro. All right?
So,
you guys are
boom.
Awesome.
Hey, I got one question for you, AP.
Yes, sir.
What's the greatest church in the world, man? What's the greatest church in the world?
New Life Family Church, Pastor Welton P. Smith IV. I said it and I mean it. I'm growing somewhere. Hello, somebody.
You're supposed to mean it. That's how you're supposed to be. Listen, answer me this. When you tried to call into the show yesterday, what happened? Was it busy? Did you get a recording? What happened?
No. I got to listen. Y'all was doing songs. Listen to this song. And I wanted to say on the last song, man, anybody that know this show got to be really old. But I couldn't get through it. I thought that was funny.
You're talking about the TV theme music.
Right. Yeah.
I got to be really old.
Yeah.
I'm not really old. That's,
but
that's
I, mean. I'll be 33 when my birthday get here. So I thought that was funny. Yeah, man, you guys are awesome.
Well, Doc,
and that's
know,
all
we
I have to say.
Man.
I wanted to finish the lesson to Ash Rook. I never heard of Ash Rook portion, so I want to listen
oh,
for
yeah.
that. Do
okay.
I get to
no
ask
problem.
Rook or anybody get to ask Rook?
Well,
I'm going to wait.
Okay, because I'm going to explain it again. Well, thank you, Brother Prophet. Stand
okay.
by, Doc. I'm going to get back in. We'll get you back in. For the Ask Rook segments, like Dear Abby. Dear Abby was a columnist and doing columns. Now her granddaughter or daughter doing it now for 50 years, 60-plus years. And they basically wrote in and asked the reporter, the writer, her opinion on different situations in their life. And so we brought a variation of that. We actually took some of the same, we have some of the same articles or questions asked to Dear Abby, and then we're going to ask Rook those same things to see if him and Abby come up with the same advice. Rook don't know any of these in advance, and we invite you, the listeners, to Live with Dr. D, to call in 516-387-1299, and you can ask Rook your own questions and get his response live during this show. We're going to get to that in about 5 minutes. Let me say, if you try to call in to Live with Dr. D during our broadcast time and you get a recording, because we've been hearing that it couldn't get in, let us know what that signifies is that we have maxed out our current user base, because we're only allocated for a certain amount of concurrent listeners. That's people listening on apps, on desktop computers, or actually on the switchboard listening. And I keep hearing it, and I want to be sure it's consistent, because that means that we have more people trying to listen to the show than we're currently advocated for or allowed it. And so we can change our range, or we can change our package to be able to listen and get more people to listen in. And so that's a feat. That's something great. You know, if that's the case, we understand that Prophet said that he actually did listen to the show, which means that didn't apply to him. But we've heard people, I've had people tell me before they couldn't get in, it was busy, or things like that. So let us know if you ever have that issue. Inbox, well, we can't get in. How do we tell you? You can follow us on Facebook on our Live with Dr. D page. You can follow Live with Dr. D on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Rook City on Instagram or Facebook if you chose to give you that information during the show. But that's how you let us know. All right? Rook, before we, again,
it's
I don't know if you, go ahead.
It's on the church is growing, Doc. We might need to expand, get a new building. What does that sound like?
Well, Doc, you know, transition is something that's happening all around us as we speak. But so that's interesting at the same time. But Doc, I want to run this by you. This past Sunday, I don't know if you heard this, a Detroit pastor shot and killed a man during service. I don't know if you heard about this or not. Let me read this article to you. A man who police say attacked. You didn't hear about it?
Yeah, I heard about it. Go ahead.
Okay, this is from the Detroit News. A man who police say attacked a pastor with a brick at a church service before the pastor whipped out his Glock handgun and fatally shot back, ranted weeks on Facebook that his pastor had gotten his wife pregnant. Two Detroit police sources said detectives were investigating a possible love triangle between man who died, his wife, and their pastor. Deontay Smith's younger sister, Deja Ward, said Monday evening that her brother, who was killed Sunday, went to, I don't know if I should miss the name of the church, went to this, I'm not going to miss the name of the church, on Grand River, I'll say that, to get closure with the pastor before pursuing counseling with his wife. The couple had previously lived with the pastor, whom Smith considered a mentor and called Dad, Ward said. Quote, he never brought beef to anybody, end quote, Ward said of her brother. Quote, he wanted closure so he could start counseling. I guess it turned a whole other way, end quote. On September 16th, Smith, 26, of Detroit, wrote he planned to attend the church. Quote, I can't wait to see Sunday message at the city, okay, at the church, he wrote, end quote. I'll be there with the truth, end quote. And that day, Smith wrote, quote, this blank going to hit the fan, end quote. And on September 15th post, Smith wrote, a quote, that wasn't my baby, that was her and Pastor's baby, end quote. That preceded a September 16th rant, quote, This blank got my blankly blank pregnant. TikTok blank and everybody with you, end quote. That is all that's how this article is written. Smith posted several times in the weeks leading up to his death about the pain he was feeling about the alleged affair. On October 8th, he wrote, blank, I'm hurting y'all. His post appeared to concern friends, one of whom wrote on October 13th, may I ask what's going on with you? Smith replied, I'm crazy. They call me S-O-N-I-C. I don't even know what that means. Like Sonic, an acronym. I'm crazy. They call me S-N-I-C. Assistant Chief Steve Doniat said police believe Smith about 15 minutes after the start of the 1:30 service on Sunday afternoon at a storefront church. The pastor was not arrested and is complying or cooperating with authorities, Officer Jennifer Marino said. He was never in custody, Marino said. Monday he was just brought downtown on Sunday for questioning regarding the incident. He stayed a couple hours, cooperated fully, and went home. After questioning the pastor, police will submit a warrant request to the prosecutors who will decide whether the shooting was justified. Doc, what do you think, man?
Doc, I honestly think the pastor should have had somebody else come up to preach that Sunday. He knew what was going down. He knew the dude was coming to confront him. I think he shouldn't have put himself in that position to where he even had to do that, Doc. That's when you call one of your
friends. Well, he still had been at the church.
He had to be there.
Yeah, Doc, like, you can't run, man.
It ain't running,
what
Doc.
You saying.
It ain't really running. And it's also, he wrong for getting the dude's wife pregnant, but in the same sense.
That's messed up.
As you, Doc, you got a whole flock of sheep to lead, Doc. Sometimes it ain't best for you to be out there with the sheep. You got to send somebody else to shepherd the sheep for a minute. Make sure it's some good teaching. But make some. You got to have somebody else do it, Doc. Could this situation get resolved, Doc? Whether it takes some counseling, one-on-one, or a phone call, you shouldn't have been up to preach that Sunday, Doc, where you're putting yourself in a position to take another man's life.
Brother, I'll call him in, Doc. Brother, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How about you?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. Can't trip about that.
What you think, man, about this article?
That is just wild. But that just going to show you that people are human, no matter whatever their label is, you know. For people to put, you know, the pastor obviously is supposed to be on another level than some other, so they say. I think, man, that would have crippled the church, or even crippled, you know, the pastor. Even if it's not true, you know, just for your name being in some kind of scandal like that. Then, if the truth would have came out and it had a DNA, which it still can happen, you know. Then
yeah.
Just more proof. Then I think with attentions, if he heard possibility of that guy coming after him, who pastor, unless you in the hood, carries a Glock around? You know?
More than you realize.
So,
more than you realize.
He was in the hood.
Well,
he was in the
you
hood.
Might be, you might be, but I'm just, I guess when you're in Detroit, I guess
daycare
teachers and daycare girls too, I guess. So, I guess I would if I was in Detroit too then. But that's just it's kind of like you prepped yourself just for that. And then a man coming with you with a brick, you couldn't do better than that. Your people around you couldn't do better than that.
Yeah. That's kind of where I have my issue too. But yeah. They only had a brick.
And then
he probably got off the ground inside the church. You know, picking up on the floor. You know, that's not funny, but you know it is. That's crazy.
That's crazy. It's real crazy. You know, and I can understand with all the. Let me go back and say, I can understand a little bit because of, you know, people, pastors and other people in the church on edge with the killings in South Carolina. But still, when you mix up in something as scandalous as that, then you kind of like, it makes it look kind of funny. Like, oh, this dude going to expose me. Let me go ahead and shoot the kill. Or is it possible he's going to expose me? First of all, I think you grimy dude, pastor, no pastor, if you did something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Then that's when you need to call by your first name. You know? Not no pastor, but your first name. Once again, you don't give some of the good pastors good, bad rap. You know? Then people start losing faith in a pastor. You know what I'm saying? Then your church congregation start to be questioned.
All right, Doc. Brother, I stand by, man. That's good stuff. I got to bring him on. I was hoping he would be able to call in. Yeah, down from Miami, Doc. Dr. T, how are you, sir?
Hey, Bishop, how you doing? Rook City, Brother Art, how y'all doing, man? Excuse the noise in the background. They're doing construction in the room next to me. On the subject, Bishop. First of all, you know, we laugh at the brick, but a brick, a tire arm, a back, and I even saw on TV, even a car seat is now considered a deadly weapon. You have to understand that this boy was a semi-pro football star. I don't know if he was a quarterback or whatever, which means he had an accurate arm, and he could have threw the brick, hit that man dead in his head, and knocked him out. I think when you come in the church in rage and everybody already stepping out. See, you know, it's crazy that we talk about, oh, the pastor had the gun, he had a Glock. But then a couple of months ago, we were talking about the pastor need to have a gun and his armor bearers need to have a gun in case somebody coming there acting crazy. So now how are we going to, you know, now we're going to be double-minded because it's only because he was sleeping with somebody else's wife. So now the boy come in acting in rage. The man, you know, he trying not to get exposed. We don't know if he tried to calm the situation down or what. We don't know if the members kind of say, okay, you know, chill out. And he's still running towards the pastor. We don't know none of that. So in defense, hey, look, he got a deadly weapon in his hand. I got to get him off me. Shooting him four times, I think it's crazy. But like we always say, Bishop, we never know what we're going to do until we put in that predicament. Because we could be in time decision. And ain't no sense to be him, the pastor sitting up there, ain't coming to church no more because he done did wrong. Come to church, fess up, get up in front of the church, say what you done, whatever. Now, with this boy, now he doing all this, want to fight the pastor, but you need to be checking your wife because the pastor ain't loyal to you. He ain't the one that took the vow for you, He ain't the one that's loyal for to be committed, honor, and faithful. The wife is. And if, from what the other story that I was hearing, he was trying to contact his wife on Sweetest Day, and she was doing all the laughing and joking according to his cousin. So she filed. We ain't talking about her. We just talking about the man because he a man of God. That's the only thing that is. You need to be checking your wife and then try to call the pastor and see if y'all can sit down and reconcile or whatever, stuff like that. So it's a whole lot more into that just to be blaming the pastor because he had a Glock and he killed the boy in this church. That's all I got to say, Bishop.
Hey, man.
Ooh, my chest hurt.
Calm down, man. Stand by. Listen, I got to move on. This has been a long time. Every light is lit up on this call. I'm about to get some of these calls real quick. Dr. T, stand by. All right, going back to Detroit. Last four digits of your number is 6225. You're not live on air, Dr. D. Rook City. Who's this?
How you doing, Bishop? This is Brother Angelo. How you doing this morning?
Good, man. Good, Doc. How about yourself?
That's good. I'm blessed, and I'm feeling great on this morning, Bishop, because I know that God was in the mix of moving on last night, and he was the mix of moving on this morning when I was on the prayer line praying. And, you know, I did hear about the incident with the boy and the pastor and the wife, you know, someone else's wife, but I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not pointing any blame. because the way I see it, you know, they are in the wrong here. The pastor is a leader who's supposed to be covering, and I'm not saying it's his fault. The pastor was in defense. The young man could have been in way trying to get in contact with the wife here, but now we have a seed here that's inside the woman, and now the seed is the pastor's seed. And we all have to take an account here because if anybody know anything about marriage vows, when the woman tells another man yes and another man tells the woman yes, she is not herself anymore. That means that she is on one accord. She is one body now with the husband. And so now she got to deal with the consequences with God. And not only that, now the pastor definitely got to deal with the consequences. It's because that I come to understand with consequences when you are, when God puts you in charge, you know, he puts you in charge to cover the people and to pray for them. But if the people are uncovered or something happened, you know, blood is on that path of hand. I'm not saying physical blood, but spiritual blood. Because God has made you the leader because you are accountable for them now.
Well, that's true.
So I'm not blaming anyone, but they're all in the wrong here. And we just got to look at the big picture. Come judgment day, God has opened up the book of life. And he is going to ask this question on this very day. So my thing is, listen, we just got to be careful what we do now. It's because we are accountable with anything that we do in life. God holded us accountable for our action.
That's true. That is very true. Brad, little man, thank you, doctor. Appreciate the commentary. Very insightful. Can't argue, which I appreciate you. All right. We're going to oh wow, this thing is jumping. I like it like this. All right. We're going to back to the still in Detroit. Detroit is representing this morning. Last four digits of your number are 4570. 4570. Good morning. You're now live on the air, Dr. B, Rip City. Who's this?
Good morning, it's the Prophet.
No problem. I don't know why you recognize that. Now, go ahead.
All right. So, yeah, I was tripping at first. I heard about the preacher and the guy, and I'm like, dude, a brick? Throw the brick. You can catch that and throw it back. But then I realized it's not me. I don't know how close he was to the man. You know, I wasn't aware that it was during a service. But, shucks. All right. Let's go back to Jesus got arrested, and Peter was down for the cause, you understand? And I've been wondering if he cut the guy's ear off on purpose or was it an accident. And my wife said she think it was on purpose, and that just leads me to believe that Peter was rather lethal with it. Okay? So, hey, this pastor got a right to defend himself. Now, as far as him being involved with the wife and all that, hey, that's, Lord have mercy. I'm just grateful that it's not me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you know, that could be my story. I'm just so glad God saw fit to keep that over there. But I could just pray for him. We got to pray for him. Ain't nobody praying for him because we want to talk about him. But, hey, I'm rooting for him.
Wow.
I'm glad he's not locked up. But if he was, he could have some of my money on his books.
Wow.
Because there's so many people think we're supposed to just be punks in the kingdom. Absolutely not.
Well, that's true, too. Prophet,
and that's,
thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Rook?
Doc, can I say this, Doc?
Yeah.
Are we looking past the fact that he looked at this man as being like a father figure to him? He called him dad.
Yeah.
It's a level of trust putting somebody to call him dad, and then you find around they sleeping with your girl. Not sleeping with your girl, having a child by your girl.
Yeah.
That's going to bring out some strong emotions. I'm looking at you as a father figure. Who would expect their father to be sleeping with their girl? I don't care what age you're looking at or what timeline you're going by, that's just something that you don't really put past your dad. So he eating and dealing with that, and then church, and you, not only you looking at it as a father, but you my spiritual father too. I mean, are we looking past that? That man was really going through something. And it's like the pastor knew he was wrong for putting that man through that. He understand what that man was going through because as a pastor, you relate with the people. So if it wasn't that, it could have been somebody else. But yet he had to give him advice on how to deal with it. So he understood what that man was going through.
I agree with that. I agree with you, Rick, on that. That takes a lot to be that close to someone and to do something like that. And that's a horrible offense to make. I mean, in the position of now, here's the thing. When I say the term pastor, I really mean it from the relationship standpoint, where it's proper understanding. When you have a pastor and a pastor covers you, you know, you have a relationship with that pastor. Y'all talk. You know, that person is going to be the one when you're getting ready to kill somebody else. You call them angry and they're able to calm you down. They give you the word of God at the right time to give you a different perspective to bring you down. And so there is a closeness that will develop. That's period. There's a level of respect that will develop. Now, there's a lot of people with the title of pastor that really don't hold the position of pastor, and that's a different thing. But to your point, Rook, if this man is calling his pastor dad, and I only have one person I've ever met that really refers to me like that, and I was just thinking about that situation, I can understand why this is going to sound crazy, but like you said, that brings out a level of emotion that you really can't put your finger on. That's crazy. That's crazy to even do that. But you know what, though? It happens. It happens. When you put yourself in a position, and it's not in any way justifying wrong, but a lot of times got caught up because you get to talking to somebody and you get to feel their pain, you know, and things just happen. Everything is not malicious. Everything is not calculated. Everybody ain't a dog. Some people, believe it or not, wind up in some bad situations. They really do. They didn't intend for it to go that way. It just did. And before they realized really fully what was going on, they were in it. So it is complex. Wrong is wrong. Don't get me wrong. Wrong is wrong. Don't get me wrong. But everything ain't black and white. And so I'm loving the level of conversation on this show. I really am. Okay, I got to get back to it. All right. Brother R, call back in first. Brother, are you live again?
Yes.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna kill two birds with one stone. Brother, all right, go first. Dr. Thomas, you live already. So when Brother R done, Dr. Thomas, you can go ahead and just jump in. Elder Michelle, we're coming to you. I see you. We're coming. Go ahead, Brother R.
You know, about what the brother was saying earlier about, you know, he was going for the pastor. He put money on the pastor's book. XYZ, protecting yourself. Nobody said that a pastor, anybody, a church member, that don't have a right to protect themselves. We talking about pretty much how the pastor is on another level, or at least looked at, you know, on another level, that he should show more strength, mentally and physically wise, you know, because you got people that are looking up to him, you know, or if it's a her in that situation. You know, I think it just, there is no excuse for the griminess that the pastor put himself in, you know, and he never knew how long it's been going on. I don't think, I mean, it is possible, shoot, one, done, blank, boom, pregnant, but the possibility is almost slim, so it might have been, you know, plenty of times that him and her got together. Either way.
Brother, I agree with you. I agree with you, but let me ask you this before Dr. Thomas jump in. Let me ask you this. Let's point this out. According to the way the article reads, the pastor put himself in this position when he gave these two people a place to stay. They had nowhere to go. He moved them into his house. So
okay,
and this fault the preachers that's listening. This is a good example why when we do stuff like that, we have to be Holy Spirit led, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so, if Dr. Thomas, I'm pretty sure he'll finish that what he was saying earlier. If the wife really wasn't had the mentality to be married, and we don't know, I don't know her character, but if she walking around the house per se, you know, scantily dressed or no clothes on, the man of God is still a man, and that don't make it right. But what I'm saying is we all have our weak points. And if you have a weak point, you're supposed to go home and lock yourself in the house. But if you lock yourself in the house with the devil, chances are. Does that make a difference?
But no, that could have been the setup for the takedown. Him moving the man, that coerced and worked out and schemed upon before. Because like he said, you never know how long they've been doing it.
Yeah,
are you saying maybe he moved her in the house so he can get it?
Wow.
Dr. Thomas?
First of all, Bishop, he didn't move them in the house for him to get it. If he was already getting it, he wouldn't even have them in the house. They were having financial difficulties and needed a place to go, and he opened up his house. We have to understand, even though he called him, this is my father, you have to understand, this is not your father. And so your mind thinking need to be more on the person who decided to say I do to you. We put more emphasis on, he called him his daddy, and that was his pastor. Yeah, but this is your wife. And I call Bishop my friend. Because Bishop Davenport is my friend. I believe if I'm down in the dumps, I believe if he had the money to get on a plane and come see about me, he will do it. I believe if I was down in the dumps, Bishop Davenport would reach his hand down and grab it. But you understand that I'm going to believe that Bishop is my friend, but I'm not going to put past it any man. If I got a nice-looking wife, she ain't even got to be nice-looking. It just got to be at the right day, at the right time, at the wrong moment. And at some point, we have to understand, this man is 36 years old. He probably was single, because I didn't see nothing about him having a wife. The guy already knew, which is Smith, the 26-year-old, knew his father, quote-unquote, or his pastor, quote-unquote. He knew him. They hung together. I mean, they're only 7, 8 years old. I gotta put it on pause. But go ahead, Bishop.
All right, I got you. Well, we know that if you don't know that Dr. Thomas is actually calling, as he's still in the hospital recuperating, and we heard the doctors come in, so we're gonna get back to him when he can. Good morning, Elder.
Good morning.
Talk to us.
It's a lot. First of all, the young man was probably calling him dad because of his spiritual connection with him and their relationship. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the pastor is a man. Although he is a pastor, he is still a man, still has flaws like everybody else. And, yes. You know, when you're in a relationship and you're in a marriage, if I'm married or if I'm married, my marriage, I'm not going to allow for any of my single friends to come and live with me. Never, ever. I'm never going to open up that door. Ever. Because you take a chance on your husband or even yourself, finding yourself in a compromising position, period. Now, from what I understand, this young man had been going to this pastor, accusing him, taunting him, saying he was going to kill him and all these things. The pastor had been going to the police, making police reports. Okay? Letting them know, they've come and taken the boy from in front of the man's house. And he means, I don't want to arrest him or put him in jail or nothing. I just want him to stop. Now, he's trying to walk in integrity, and he's trying to, you know, let's just move on. And the guy, being a young man, you know how young people are, we are when we get angry? Even me, even myself, when I get angry, sometimes you don't think. And you would say some things, and before you know it, you done did it, and you'd be like, oh, my God, what have I done? And so now he says, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to embarrass him in his church. I'm going to go in here. He had a brick and a hammer. He was going in there to do some kind of bodily harm to this man in front of his congregation. So I'm not saying that what the pastor did was right. Who are you going to protect yourself? You just let somebody come beat you with a hammer and a brick? And this is somebody who's been taunting you, somebody who's been coming after you like this for a while.
Yeah.
This ain't nothing new. This is like if you're in an abusive relationship with your husband, and you keep going to police and telling them, this man is beating me up. You keep making police reports. They keep coming, and they're finding him, and they're doing it and taking them. I'm not going to press charge you. I just wanted to stop. And then he comes and he tries, and then he ends up dead. They're going to let you go. You know why? That's self-defense.
They were trail. Yeah.
And I'm sorry that it happened like that. But, you know, that's life. And no, I'm not saying he was right. All I'm saying is he has to give an account to that. That's no different than what David did. He didn't get caught like that.
I was
going to
bring
that
up.
But God judged David. God did. God judged David. We can't do that. We can't do that. We have to learn. We turn on the men of God, the women of God, and then you wonder why folk don't respect them, why we can't get the world saved. He a man just like I'm a woman. He got mistakes he makes. He has flaws like I have flaws. I'm not going to put him on no pedestal. He ain't Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a man of God. And so God will take care of that. Trust me. Y'all may think he's got away. He still got an answer to the Most High. What? So just pray for him.
Don't hang up. Your mic is still live. I'm bringing Brother R back in. You call back in, Brother R?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother R, you live.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
It seems like, once again, it kind of like a no disrespect, like you make an excuse up for him, you know? This man knew what he was doing, you know? I still believe in somewhat premeditated. And I can agree with you. No, I'm not bringing nobody in the house single. I'm not finna bring no dude in my house. I ain't no pastor for one thing, so we know it ain't gonna happen. But I'm not gonna bring nobody in my house, you know, like that, because it's a chance attempt. We human, like you said.
Yeah.
So being that we are human, we should know better or know better. You know, that's like me going out, intentionally going out to a club, you know, pocket full of money, da 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 da, or a strip club, and not be a chance that I might pick up something, knowing I'm a married man. Wow, that's putting myself in a bad position. You should know better. And there's a so-called
Let's also point out that the way the articles are reading is that there's no proof that this pastor had gotten his wife pregnant. That's something he believed. Now, it could be true, but proof is important.
But you know something? With how the article's going, it's been a consistent thing going on. So it wasn't like a one-day event and it was gone. So evidently, these events kept happening. So as the pastor, he should have been the bigger person to bring it all out in the church. You know, I'm going to show you that I'm not this demon or this person you make me out to be. I'm willing to have a test. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, because y'all look up to me. I'm a leader, and I'm here to clear my name or make sure my name don't get dirtied up even more than what it is.
But how do we know that he did not do that? When he didn't make police reports about this young man coming to his house and harassing him.
Because he made police reports. That's not justifying.
And arrested the guy in front of his house. They come and gotten him from his house. They pulled him from his house.
You know, there's a saying said to every lie, there's some truth. So, therefore, he ain't going to just come out the air, just assume that this pastor, who he looked up as a father, just going to just have his wife pregnant. Not screwing around, but pregnant.
It's the same difference. What's the difference? If she got pregnant or not, screwing around and getting pregnant, I mean, she's messing around with the man. She's messing with the man. She's messing with him. Now, whether she got pregnant or not, that's neither here nor there. The bottom line is, where's the proof that this is true? The wife never said it was true.
The wife didn't say anything, did she?
No, she didn't. She hasn't said nothing yet. See?
Okay. So she,
the pastor has been saying something.
So you just think because he's the pastor, he had to be right.
I'm not saying he was right, sir. I never said that. What I said was, we don't know whether he's right or wrong, but we can't judge him. I just can't make accusations like that and say, well, you know, he should have did. No, I can't. All I can say is, Lord, have mercy. Whatever happened, God knows. And so, Lord, you handle it. That's just like when, Nathan had proof that David was the man who had did what he had done. But instead of him going to him like that because he was the king, he said, I've got a problem, and I need you to settle this problem. There was a man who had nothing but one ewe lamb, and then there was another man who had everything he could possibly want. And he went and took this man's one ewe lamb. The first thing David said was, that man needs to be dead. Kill him. And then Nathan said, okay then, because you feel like that, thou art the man. And then David fell down and he realized what he did was wrong, and he fell on his face and he wrote Psalm 51. Read it. And so
okay,
now, we cannot accuse
you dropping your biblical terms on me, but at the end of the day, this is the real world, so stuff don't happen as the biblical terms always go. So therefore, somebody need to make a better judgment call then. So maybe the pastor who had all these people around him should have made a better judgment call. He's a leader for a reason. And for that reason, he should have made a better judgment call.
It's hard for us to hear when we talk over each other. It's interesting radio, just not clear radio, you know. Some great point. I tell you something. I really believe, and I say it all the time, that what we lack in the body of Christ is passionate conversations like these, because everything is not black and white. There are multiple sides to everything. Rook, obviously, you know, we run out of time to do Dear Rook, so we're going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to come up with another name for that segment, too, because I don't like saying Dear Rook. It just bothers me on the inside, dog. It was something else. But let me say this. Let me offer this. It is, how can I say it plainly? It is very difficult to be accused of something that you didn't do. We don't know if you're guilty or not, because as we read and as we discussed, the wife hasn't said anything. One of the things that I noted that is not, she's not saying is she's not claiming to have been raped or molested. So there was a sexual relationship. It was mutual. So that says something in itself. I cannot escape what Brother R said, what you said. Whether I'm accused or not, if you accuse me of doing something I did not do, I still have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to try to clean it up. I have a responsibility to protect my membership. I have a responsibility to stay right in God. And so if I'm accused of something and I try to address it in private, the Bible says you have an order against your brother, go to him in private. If that doesn't work, because I'm a Christian, and since I'm a Christian, I have to follow Christian doctrine and Christian belief. If that doesn't work, I need to go with a group of brothers to say, let's resolve this. And if that doesn't fix it, if that doesn't stop the accusations, I need to bring it to the whole body so everybody know what's going on. And I have to submit myself to the process of justification because the Lord's going to justify. Now, I think, to Elder Michelle's point, a lot of us found the pastor guilty because, you know what, Rook? He put himself in that situation. I've done it. Every person. Let me help you say this to him. Go ahead.
You can me go ahead?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you. All right, Doc. I found him guilty, Doc, because I feel like if he was already harassing this man, he already made police reports. When it came to Sunday morning, my security would have been on high alert. He wouldn't even have gotten the first five seats. He wouldn't have gotten them rows. You see what I'm saying? It would have been another situation. You didn't put a man. You could have shot the man in the arm. You could have shot him in the leg. You shot to kill.
You don't know that because he died.
He shot him four times. It took four shots.
Well, he was scared. Maybe he was scared. He was nervous, to Dr. Thomas'
point. Of a brick?
So yes. You going to get hit with a brick?
No, but I know it's not going to hurt bad as a brick. No, I don't want to get hit with no bricks, no.
Okay.
It's not
let's be again, fair. Let's be fair. Now, that's not just about what the man did. But Rook, come on, let's be fair. This guy's been harassing you. You know he's angry. He's been stung. He sure with a hammer and what's name? You mean to tell him you're gonna let him get closer? You're gonna let him throw the brook and brick and swing the hammer before your natural instincts?
I'm not gonna do none of the above, Doc, because I got security in place to make sure this is not gonna happen.
You don't have security, Rook. This is not
you
new
got
life.
Brothers you talk to.
No,
you got
Doc.
Brothers that you know.
Doc, you don't know that.
Man, you can't tell me you're the pastor and you ain't got one brother on your team in that church.
Okay. Let me talk about new mission.
I'm not friends with my pastor like that, but ain't nobody coming in my church with a hammer and a brick doing anything to my pastor. It's just sitting like that. So if he don't have members like that, then what kind of members do you got? Those are really called members.
What if he's developing them? What if he's developing them? What if they heard these rumors, Doc, and they sitting on the side? Everybody's
I'm just
not
saying, Doc.
We all go no quit. I hear you. I do.
It's hard for me to understand
that
somebody let it happen to their pastor. I can't see it. I only been to a few churches in my life, and it's like both the churches I attended, I wouldn't let nothing happen to either one of the men of God that stood in the pulpit and preached anything to me, period. Whether I'm there 2 days and just getting there or me being there years, I'm not letting nothing happen to this man that I came. No, he got something for me, and it's coming from God. So if I can't get it from nowhere else, I'm getting it from him. And you're not interrupting that. You're not stopping that. You're not preventing that. So if I got to stop you from trying to prevent this, then that's my job. I'm on assignment now. I'm not part of the security team, but I'm security. And if somebody should be in the pulpit, somebody should be in the congregation, sitting there with that mindset, somebody. How you have a pastor appreciation if you don't know your pastor, man? What do you appreciate? Do he come give you the word every Sunday? If you're not willing to sit there and put yourself at risk for your pastor, then maybe you need to go to a new church. I don't know if I'm being heard, Doc, but that's how I feel.
No,
man.
No, Doc. We hear you, Doc. I was just,
I felt like I was acting, Doc.
Doc, you were. You were, Doc. That came out your soul, Reverend.
These men of God, you know, they come to church and they be all suited and booted, but they won't jump if something happening, man. I mean, we men. Like you said, we're men. We supposed to stand on the front line, man. There's women in this church. This dude starts swinging his hammer, and he gets finished with the pastor. Now he got witnesses. He want to hurt witnesses, too. We got to prevent this from even jumping off, man. I'm a little fella, but ain't nothing happening. It bothers me, man. That's one of them things that grinds my gears. When these dudes come to church and they're not willing to stand for their pastor. Their pastor should not have to shoot this man four times and take his life. This man should be sitting in somebody's jail for doing something wrong instead of sitting in somebody's morgue for doing something wrong. This could have been prevented. He didn't have a gun. He had a brick and a hammer. Okay. You trying to tell me four brothers can't stop a man with a brick and a hammer? It ain't a bomb. This is a brick and a hammer. That's like a spoon and a fork. You don't have to kill this man over that, man. Even if you did have to shoot him, not to kill him. You scared, okay. You not that scared. I can see if he had a butcher knife and he's stabbing folks, he got a brick and a hammer. Both of them are going to hurt, Doc. They're going to hurt. You might require some stitches. It's going to hurt. It might leave some bruises. It's going to hurt. But at the end of the day, you're going to be okay. Life hurts. You're going to get some bruises. You're going to get some nicks and cuts. But you live to see another day. You just took this man's life. It's not okay. Now, if it was a white officer doing this to a black guy on the side of the street, we'd have a different conversation going right now. This is a brother-on-brother crime.
We are, wow. Amen. Oh, God. We are over time. We're over time. That's our show. Thank you for all the participation. And it's definitely something to discuss. There's still more angles to this thing that we can bring out. The conversation is needed. Thanks for calling. Rook, man, thank you for being a great co-host. Thanks for everybody that called in. Everyone for listening. And be it the Lord's will, we'll do it better on tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.